वनचारी जमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यश जमुना तीरावनचारी जमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमद शिवाइंग्रे श्रील एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिरभवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो वन चैप्टर टेन चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द डिपार्चर ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा फॉर द्वारका टेक्स्ट 11 एंड 12 सत्संगान मुक्त दूषंगो आतुम नोत सहते बुद्ध कीर्त्यमानं यशो यस्य सकृद् आकर्ण्य रोचानं सत्संगान् मुक्त दुसंगो हातुं नोतासते बुद्ध कीर्त्यमानं यशो यस्य सत्कृत अकर्ण्य रोचना सत्संग मुक्त दुसंगो हा तुम नोता शते बुध कीर्त्यमानाम यशो यस्य साकृत अकर्ण्य रोचनम सत्संगन मुक्त दुसंगो हा तुम नोता शते बुध कीर्त्यमानाम यशो यस्य साकृत अकर्ण्य रोचनम मदजीस second verse which is part of this tasmin nyashate dhya partha sahiran viram katham darshana sparsha samplapya sayanan shayanan saha bhojana. So we'll take the word to word meaning. Sat sangat, by the association of pure devotees. Mukta dusangaha, freed from bad materialistic association. Hatum, to give up. Na utsahate, never attempts. Buddha, one who has understood the Lord. Kirtyamanam, glorifying. Yasha, fame. Yasya, whose. Sakrit, once only. Akarnya, hearing only. Rochanam, pleasing. Tasmin, unto him. Nyasta diha, one who has given his mind unto him. Partha, the son of Pritha. Saharen, can tolerate. Viraham, separation. Katham, how. Darshana, seeing face to face. Sparsha, touching. Samplapa, conversing. Sayana, sleeping. Asana, sitting. Bhojana, dining together. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the intelligent who have understood the Supreme Lord in association with pure devotees and have become freed from bad materialistic association can never avoid hearing the glories of the Lord, even though they have heard them only once. How then could the Pandavas tolerate his separation, for they have had been intimately associated with his person, seeing him face to face, touching him, conversing with him, and sleeping, sitting, and dining with him. Purport. The living being's constitutionally position, the living being's constitutional position is one of serving a superior. He is obliged to serve by force the dictates of illusory material energy in different phases of sense gratification. And in serving the senses, he is never tired. Even though he may be tired, the illusory energy perpetually forces him to do so without being satisfied. There is no end to such sense gratificatory business, and the conditioned soul becomes entangled in such servitude without hope of release. The release is only effected by association with pure devotees. By such association, one is gradually promoted to his transcendental consciousness. Thus he can know that his eternal position is to render service unto the Lord and not to the perverted senses in the capacity of lust, anger, desire to lord it over, etc. Material society, friendship and love are all different phases of lust. I repeat, material society, friendship and love are all different phases of lust. Home, country, family, society, wealth and all sorts of corollaries are all causes of bondage in the material world, where the threefold miseries of life are concomitant factors. By associating with pure devotees and by hearing them submissively, attachment for material enjoyment becomes slackened, and attraction for hearing about the transcendental activities of the Lord becomes prominent. Once they are, they will go on progressively without stoppage, like the fire in gunpowder. It is said that Hari, the personality of Godhead, is so transcendentally attractive that even those who are self-satisfied by self-realization and are factually liberated from all material bondage also become devotees of the Lord. Under the circumstances, it is easily understood what must have been the position of the Pandavas, who are constant companions of the Lord. They could not even think of separation from Sri Krishna, since the attraction was more intense for them because of continuous personal contact. His remembrance by his form, quality, name, fame, pastimes, etc. is also attractive for the pure devotee. But so much so that he forgets all forms, quality, name, fame and activities of the mundane world. And due to his mature association with the pure devotees, he is not out of contact with the Lord for a moment. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Goratvishay Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are reading this chapter, Departure of Lord Krishna from Dwarka, and it is a very, very interesting, very touching episode that is happening. Very enchanting episode. Something that we should, of course, every verse of the Bhagavatam is worth meditating upon. Every syllable. But as we are reading this Bhagavatam, various episodes that will come, some portions of Bhagavatam are very, very intense and special. And those episodes make it very, very easy for us because of their nature of sweetness for us to get attached to the Bhagavatam. The whole idea is for all of us, why we do Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya? Why is it that Srila Prabhupada instituted within ISKCON that every morning there should be a Bhagavatam class? It was not something done in a very erratic or irrational way. It is exactly following in the teachings of the Bhagavatam and practically applying it in an executable way. So if you see Prabhupada, the way he designed the whole morning program, as we understand, is so very much helping us to fulfill every important anga or aspects of Krishna consciousness. Whether we worship Tulsi, we dress the deities, we have darshan of the deities, we do kirtan with the devotees, we chant Hare Krishna. And a very important anga is Krishna Katha. And Bhagavatam explains that Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nityam means always. Now always on a practical level, not to say that Bhagavatam is impractical, but when I say on the practical level, is on the executable level, on practically how to really use that particular instruction in our life. The best thing is to begin the day in the morning by hearing Bhagavatam. And that's why Prabhupada started the Bhagavatam classes. And how systematically, such amazing that every single temple in ISKCON, hundreds and hundreds of temples, follow strictly the morning class. There might be few changes in other things that the temple does, but the morning program is standard everywhere. In fact, when we talk about standardization of an organization, even very, very reputed institutes like the IIMs, they give example of ISKCON. Whether it is IIM Bangalore or all the top, they said this is standardization, and they actually quote the example of ISKCON of how standardized the morning program is. Yeah, and that was Prabhupada's brilliance. So anyway, coming to the point, the whole idea of hearing the Bhagavatam is to get attached to the Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavat. When you hear something regularly, you get attached to it, and the whole idea is that because we are unfortunately detached from Krishna, Krishna Bahirmukha Jiva Bhogavancha Kare. Bahirmukha. That means we are looking away from Krishna. Bahirmukha. And we are supposed to look towards Krishna. We are supposed to get attached to Krishna. We are supposed to be looking in His direction. Bhagavatam helps us. Hearing helps us. So when we hear such beautiful pastimes as what is quoted here, to just give you a brief background, you know, the Kurukshetra war was fought. Krishna, of course, came much before the war in the picture. He acted as the peacemaker. He did so many. He tried to avoid the war. The war was inevitable. The war was fought. Krishna, of course, spoke the Bhagavad Gita. He drove the chariot of Arjun, became Partha Sarathi. Yeah. And then, of course, as per the Lord's desire, every single person in the war was killed except for the Pandavas, five Pandavas, and Parikshit Maharaj in the womb. Rest, everybody was destroyed. So Krishna took part in the war, he helped the Pandavas, and how much Krishna helped? Can you imagine? I mean,
It will be worth meditating upon how Krishna helped the Pandavas in the war to understand this verse. How Krishna was so involved with the Pandavas in every aspect of the war. Every aspect. I mean, it will be a whole hours of class just to explain how Krishna was so beautifully involved with the Pandavas and helping them in the war. Whether it is giving the Narayani Sena to Duryodhan and being himself available to Arjun, or telling how to kill Jarasandha. No, Jarasandha was before, of course, Karna, Bhishma, and what is that person? I forget his name. Jayadrath. Everywhere Krishna is involved. He acts as if he's just a chariot driver, but he's playing behind the scene in everything. And it is so very clearly evident that when the war was over, Krishna said, Arjuna, you get down. I said, no, Krishna, you get down first. Because usually what happens is the charioteer gets down, he gives his hand, and taking the support of the hand, the person who's been driven, he gets down. That's the etiquette. That, you know, the person who drives, he gets down, gives his hand, and then the person. But in this case, Krishna would do this all the time. But in this case, is Arjuna, you get down first. And he got down because the whole chariot was so badly hit, and the whole chariot was crumpled to nothingness after Krishna got down, because Krishna was just maintaining the chariot just by his presence. Otherwise, it was not possible for the chariot to survive the onslaughts that it had faced. So the point is, my dear friends, Krishna was so very involved. When the arrow was shot by Ashwatthama, it was Krishna who protected that only child. Can you imagine what a desperate situation was this? The whole war was fought to establish dharma, and Yudhishthira Maharaj was obviously going to be coronated the emperor. But what after Yudhishthira Maharaj? What happens after? Is it just that the whole war was fought just to have Yudhishthira Maharaj's tenure, and after that what? There has to be a continuation, and it was only Parikshit who was not even born that time. Krishna protected. And then telling Yudhishthira to take instruction from Bhishmadev. This is all that we have read in the last few chapters. Right? Bhishmadev instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj. What a beautiful... Again, Krishna plays a pivotal role everywhere. Krishna protected Parikshit from Ashwatthama. Krishna tells Bhishmadev's glorious departure is there. And after doing everything, he remained. Please understand, Krishna also has his duties, right? Krishna says, when I come to the world, I also do work. He says in the Gita, I also work. I have to do work. It's not that Krishna is God, so he can do whatever he wants. He is responsible. And he was Dwarkadish. He was supposed to be in Dwarka. He was responsible. People were dependent upon him. He was the king. But for months and months and months, he was in Hastinapur and Kurukshetra. Are you able to picturize the scene? And Krishna said that at one point, after establishing Yudhishthira and still staying with Yudhishthira and satisfying that, you know, after all the war was won, they didn't want Krishna to leave. Now, I was thinking, you know, I'm sure all of us have experienced, right? Whenever we spend a good portion of time with somebody, I suppose we go on a yatra, okay? And, you know, obviously, usually we are staying with a particular people in our in temples or houses. But when you go on a yatras, we are staying with other devotees. And, you know, we obviously have association of devotees. And after we come back, after 8, 10 days or 12 days or 15 days of yatra or whatever, you start missing them, right? I say, well, I'm missing this person. I stayed for 12 days and I'm missing. Is it not? Yes, it is natural that we start missing that person. Now, what is that person? He's simply a small answer of Krishna, and we start missing him. What must be the attachment of the Pandavas for Krishna? What sort of attachment that Krishna must have created by his munificent, fabulous activity? And the very word Krishna means akarshan, who attracts, all attractive Krishna. So how much should and how much will a person be attracted to Krishna? And what if those people are none other than the Pandavas, who are pure devotees of the Lord? So they didn't want to even think of the situation that when Krishna is leaving. No way they want to even think. But at some point Krishna said, okay, Yudhishthir, okay, my dear Pandavas, I'm leaving. I have to go. The people in Dwarka are waiting for me. And it was like a thunderbolt. So what? How can you, please understand, please, the example that I gave, even if you stay with the person for 10, 12, 15 days, you get attached. And here is a situation where the Pandavas have stayed for months. And intimately, as the verse says, they have dined with him, they have joked with him, they have touched him, they have discussed with him. He has chastised them. They have chastised him. Huh? Yudhishthira Maharaj has chastised Krishna sometimes. Bhima has chastised Krishna. How can you do this? Because he's elder. So Krishna has chastised Arjun and other people, and they have chastised Krishna. How intimate was the relationship for months? It was so intimate. And then Krishna at the last, he has to say that I'm leaving. I have to leave. How long can I stay here? I have my duties. The Dwarka Vasis are waiting for me. So please understand, this is the scenario. Let us all go back in time and just experience, if not, obviously we were not there. But let us experience through the pages of the Bhagavatam what must be the scenario when Krishna would have made that statement. And the background Sukadeva Goswami is giving us, that the Pandavas, they have dined with Krishna. And obviously when we were dining with Krishna as a cousin, if something is good, Bhima, I'm not speculating, because I did hear this particular thing from one of our senior spiritual masters of our ISKCON society, that when they were sitting, Bhima, his plate was over, he would take from Krishna's plate and eat. Because it was still not come, so he would take from Krishna. So they had very friendly relationship. They would take from Krishna, but Krishna would take from their plate. So much intimacy. And with so much intimacy, the separation will be that much more. And that is the scenario, my dear friends. That is the scenario. It is explained so beautifully. That what to talk of, we get attached to ordinary people. We ordinary people get attached to Krishna to some extent. What to talk of the Pandavas, who had face-to-face association of the Lord, what sort of attachment would that be? So that's the scenario that we are in. So Krishna is about to leave. And all the ladies, and as this verse is beautiful verses, emotions. Because please understand, ultimately what we are trying to do, my dear friends, is it is not by reading Bhagavatam we are trying to be, or by reading Bhagavad Gita, we are trying to make our heart very hard. Many times the understanding, a superficial understanding is that, by doing spiritual practice, we should become tough. No. We should become tough in the sense that we say no to Maya. To be tough. To say no to Maya, but our heart should become softer and softer and softer and filled with emotions. Well, that is what Krishna consciousness is all about. It is all about creating developing emotions for Krishna and his devotees and for the spiritual master. And that emotions will not be developed, the right sentiments, the right feelings, the right attachments will not be developed unless and until our heart is soft. So what we are trying to develop is create a soft heart. So we should understand, here is Bhima, who is Vrikodar, who can, what sort of strength he has. So here is a huge personality like Bhima. He is crying when Krishna is leaving. And why not? Arjuna, who is a doer of some amazing tasks, a tough man, who has seen his own son dying. Abhimanyu, he has gone through that intense situations, but he has weathered it, as we say, he has weathered it all. He has gone through it all. But when Krishna is leaving, he is crying. I said, how can you leave? Please understand, it is not just the ladies who are crying. But ladies naturally have sentiments. They are God-gifted natural sentiments. They are naturally soft, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam. And we also experience it. So it is not the ladies. In the previous verse, it is mentioned Subhadra, Draupadi, Kunti, And all these people were also crying. I said, what about? It is not the lady, but everybody, because Krishna is the only Purusha. We are all Prakriti. We are all supposed to be subservient to Krishna. We all have naturally those feelings for Krishna. And it could be more easier for the ladies who have got the female form to express that feelings because of the natural emotional disposition that they are in. And because of the unfortunate male ego that many times males think that they have, they are not able to express that feelings. But ultimately, we all are supposed to have that feelings for Krishna. Because Krishna is the only male, we are all females. We all are supposed to feel separation from Krishna. We are supposed to feel love. We are supposed to feel that emotions for Krishna. That's our natural disposition. But why? Why are we for years and years and years, for lifetimes I would say, forget years, not able to develop that feeling for Krishna? You know, if you see, if you read these verses, I was discussing with some devotees yesterday, that it is actually, we should not congratulate, but it is great, it is a great feat for all of us that we have forgotten Krishna. It is not easy, but we have done the most difficult task of forgetting Krishna. Are you getting me? It is actually very, very difficult to forget Krishna, but we all are very nice people in a negative sense, my dear friends. We all have done the undoable, sadly so, of course. Sadly. But otherwise, it's very difficult to forget Krishna. It is not, I mean, Krishna is so attractive, but for lifetimes, we are happy forgetting Krishna. In fact, we want to forget Krishna. In fact, we try to work very hard to somehow forget Krishna. Why do we need Krishna? Because when Krishna comes, we realize that we cannot be enjoyers. So we say, no, Krishna, we don't want you. It's a sad thing, my dear friends. It's a sad. How have you done it and how we still continue doing it? So the pure devotees wonder how people cannot be attracted to Krishna, and we wonder how to get attracted to Krishna. We scratch our brains, we do everything. Somehow we could attract to Krishna. Why? Very, very, very interesting. Because please understand, in this material world, there is a powerful energy of the Lord in the form of the Mahamaya Shakti. Maya, what we call. And Maya, the word used for her, or rather word can be used for her, is she is relentless. Please think about that word. Relentless. What is the meaning of word relentless? What do you feel? Yes, Prabhu, what do you feel about the word relentless when you hear it? No stoppage, right? Relentless. And let's go to the pastime to get an idea where that Gajendra is in that water body, and the crocodile has captured Gajendra's feet. Yeah. And it is not really mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but it can be, it Acharya's mentioned in their own commentaries, that at some point Gajendra was thinking that at least, you know, I'm struggling, I'm not being successful, but at least at some point he will give up. You know, he was having that thought. At least at some point he will give up. He will be tired or something. He will give up my you know, the feet which he has caught by his foot. But what happened? The crocodile was relentless. His grip became more and more and more stronger. Yes or no? Is it that by passage of time did the grip reduce by even a slightest? It is becoming more intense. So the jiva soul, my dear friends, Prabhupada says, the jiva soul, we all have hope against hope. At least at some point Maya will leave me. We to chhod yaar. Sometimes we say, how long can you hold something, right? And we feel that because I can't hold something for long, even Maya will give me up. I'm struggling for years, but at least someday. But no, my dear friends, let's not be in an illusory situation of thinking that Maya will give up. Because the fact is, she is relentless. Yeah. The only way the crocodile gave up catching hold of the feet of Gajendra is when he surrendered to the Lord. Only when he surrendered. Otherwise, I mean, how long was the war? For 1,000 celestial years? Is that right? How long was the war fought? It was just 1,000. I mean, 1,000 years or whatever that. You know, it's a large number. Sufficient for all of us to know. Somebody fighting for 1,000 years. I mean, you know, even if you see, I mean, the fights that we see in the trains in Mumbai locals, you know, somebody becomes very angry and at some point everything becomes relaxed. We also get tired, the other guy gets down off the train or whatever, and the fight stops, right? It is not relentless. Sometimes the fight starts Andheri, at least by Bhayandar it gets over. I've seen sometimes. I mean, it's at the peak at Borivali. But then at Bhayandar, for those who don't travel by train, you do not understand what I'm talking. But these are different railway stations. This is a typical Mumbai scenario. Only Mumbai people will understand this. Yeah. So I'm saying the fights, whatever fights, even between, in general, between people to people, it is not relentless, right? We fight and I said, give it up, or maybe we separate or whatever, but it is not relentless. But please understand the fight against Maya that we are all engaged in. We are all fighting against Maya. One of the bhajans, it is explained that we are like in the net of Maya, like the fish. We are, what is that bhajan? Arkeno Maya Jale. Yeah. I said that we are in a, just imagine your scenario. You know, instead of the fish, just put yourself, you are in the net. You're like this. And you know, you are not the only person. There are hundreds of other fishes. So hundreds of all of us, we are all in the net of Maya. Maya Jale Badha Hoyle Achomeche Kachaloye Ekono Chaitanya Pe Radha Madham Nam Korore. Bhagavan Thakur writes the Maya Jale Badha Hoye. That the Maya Jal, the Jiva soul is Badha, is bound. And Achomeche Kachaloye, and he's trying to enjoy. But Ekono Chaitanya Pe, you become, Chaitanya means you come to your senses. And when you come to senses, what do? Ekono chaitanya pe Radha Madhav naam karo re. You chant the names of Radha Madhav, chant the names of Radha Gopinath, chant the names of Radha Shyama Sundar. And then you'll be delivered. So our Acharya said that for time immemorial, we have been bound like in the net of Maya, like a confined fishes are caught in the net. When actually our nature is to have fun and floric, as the third verse of R. Keno. Maya Jal, it says, our natural disposition is to enjoy in the ocean of the bliss of Krishna. We are like fishes who are supposed to enjoy and have fun. But we have been bound by the net of Maya. What a pitiable situation. Till the time, my dear friends, we are not convinced that we are in a pitiable situation, we will never be able to do anything about it. So we are not trying to create a pessimistic situation. We are trying to create a realistic situation. Sometimes, you know, people say, oh, I don't like pessimists. I want to be realistic, you know. But this is reality. Sometimes people are over-optimists. Either they're optimists or they're pessimists. But this is realistic. We are very, sometimes we love to be optimist because we like to just ignore, have an ostrich mentality. Everything is fine. Everything is good. Everything is going on well. Nothing to worry. I'm being respected. You know, I'm getting promoted in my jobs. I'm getting promoted in the various temple activities. Everything is fine. People respect me. They put garlands when I come. They offer obeisances when I come. Everything is fine. But it's not fine. Till the time we do not surrender Krishna. And that's why we have been bound. And that's why Bhagavatam tells us again and again and again about our pitiable situation of life. And it is not that we need to get depressed, but we need to get convinced that I need to do something with renewed enthusiasm every day to know how pitiable and how sad my situation is, what I am supposed to be and what I am. I'm supposed to be a free jiva soul enjoying in the bliss of Krishna consciousness. But here I am suffering. Yeah. So we have this satam prasanga mama virya samvido bhavanti rit karna rasayana katha. The beautiful verse, Kapila Dev's, right? Kapila Dev's verse. Satam prasanga. Sangha. Sangha means association. Prasanga, like Prahlad. Prakriti Rupena Hallada. Similarly, prasanga. Pra means beautiful sangha of devotees. Satam prasanga mama virya samvido bhavanti rit karna rasayana katha. When we hear in association karna, when it goes into our ears, ya joshnat asva apavarga vartoni shraddha rati bhakti anushkamishati. Shraddha, rati and bhakti becomes established in our heart. That is the purpose. That is what this Prabhupada is writing about this in the purport. And why are we not getting attracted? Because we are not hearing an association of devotees. And if we do hear it, and why should you be hearing it? And that too, why should be hearing it regularly? Because Maya is relentless. Please, the take-home word for us, if at all you want to take something home today, at least for me, when I was reading it, and the experience that I got reading this, is that Maya is relentless. She is not going to give up, no matter how you think, but she is not going to give up. And that's where, my dear friends, comes the second point. Again, taking the example of Gajendra. Prabhupada writes that, you know, because she's relentless, we need to be in our normal disposition of life, a disposition which will help us be comfortable to fight against Maya. Can you fight in a discomfort situation? I mean, you know, obviously even a warrior, he at least has to be comfortable to shoot, right? You know, you cannot fight like this. You at least make some place and then you can fight. At least you need to have some vision of what's happening. Then you fight. So please let us understand that this fight of Maya is going to be lasting for the last breath of our life. There is no option. Are we convinced? Yes or no? I didn't hear it. We have to be convinced, no matter you say yes or no. It doesn't change if you say no. The fact of the matter is, it is going to be lasting till the last breath of our life. It's going to be with you. It's a war. We started it the moment we came into this material world, and it's going to be fought till the last breath of our life. Sad, but that's the fact. And this enemy is relentless. That means, just imagine, they're constantly fighting missiles. Boom, 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 boom. And no rest. Not that there's a night, you know, in the night, Mahabharata, everything was nice. Nobody fought in the night. Of course, then at some point, they started fighting in the night also, right? And that's why Ghatotkach was caught and everything. But there was a peace, you know, from 5 o'clock, stop, 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 conch shell is blown, sunset, no fight. But that's not the way the war is fought nowadays. I mean, the sad thing what we are hearing of what's happening in the other side of the world. Yeah. It's just it's constant, relentless. But Maya has unlimited ammunition, unlimited. And she's relentless, fighting, fighting, fighting. I hope you don't become depressed. Because the idea is not to make you depressed. But the idea is to make us all aware of the reality that we are facing. Can you imagine how sad it would be that we are on a war and we think, no, it's not a war. Everything is fine. So, tick chal raha, let me drink a juice and enjoy and see TV and eat chips and enjoy myself. You can do that, no doubt. I'm not telling you to just be in a paranoia of a war. I'm not telling you to be a person who is like in a constant paranoia. But the thing is to be aware of it constantly. Yeah. So, satam apavarga, apavarga. What is apavarga? You know, we all know pa, pa, bha, bha, ma, apavarga. Huh? So that's the story of life, my dear friends. Pa means parishram. Pa, 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 then pena, foaming at the mouth.
then bandhana, and then bhai, and mrityu. That's what it is, the five syllables in our Devanagari, pa, pa, bha, bha, ma, describes the whole history books that we can all talk about. That's all history. History is nothing but this. Pa, pa, bha, bha, ma. That's all. That's all what is a big, big kings, big, big rulers, everybody. Ultimately, they parishram karna, they work hard, they foam at the mouth. Bhai, bandhan, mrityu sarva haras chaham. And then everything is taken away. But in that, we can up our gum. We can overcome that by taking shelter of Krishna. That's why satam prasanga mama virya samvido. When you associate with the Lord's devotees and you hear Krishna katha, you get rid of all these five things. And you establish Krishna consciousness, bhakti, as an irrevocable fact in your heart. Nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ruttama shloke bhakti bhavati naishtaki. And Prabhupada says, irrevocable fact. What a beautiful word. Irrevocable. Nobody can revoke it. It is as a stamp. We put this irrevocable stamp in our agreement sometimes. A red color, you know, stamp. We see in our agreements and documents. That's called an irrevocable stamp, irrevocable seal. Yeah? So similarly, when you with Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, what happens? Bhakti is established in our heart as an irrevocable fact. Bhakti means your Shraddha is transformed to Nishtha. Nishtha is nothing but irrevocable fact. Shraddha, Rati, Bhakti, Anukramashati. That the word says. Shraddha means Vaidhi Bhakti. Rati means Bhava Bhakti. And Bhakti means Prema Bhakti. So we go through the process, the whole process of Shraddha, which is Vidhi Bhakti. Shraddha Rati means Bhava Bhakti. And then Bhakti means Prema Shuddha Bhakti. Just by Satam Prasanga Mam Virya Samvito, by hearing in association of the devotees of the Lord. Because when you associate with devotees of the Lord, when you associate with Krishna, this is what happens. It is established an irrevocable fact in our heart. But the important thing, one point that we want to drive is that as Gajendra Prabhupada writes in the purport, that we need to be in a normal, comfortable situation in our life to fight this enemy Maya. Because the crocodile was in his natural environment in the waters, he was getting more and more stronger. And because the elephant was in the foreign environment, he was getting weaker. So if we want to fight a war against Maya, we need to be in our normal environment, comfortable environment. We need to find out what is my natural disposition. Let's not imitate others. Many times we like the way somebody does it. Anusharan kar sakte ho, par anukaran mat kariye. You can follow in their footsteps, but don't imitate them. Because the moment you start imitating them, you are not acting in a natural disposition that the way you are in. And because you are not in natural disposition, Maya can attack you because you are not based in your natural platform. Are you getting my point? So it's very important, my dear friends, to plus recognize what is my natural disposition. And it's not just about Varna and Ashram. It's not about that, oh, my natural disposition is Grihastha. Or my natural disposition is Brahmachari. Many times we just restrict our natural disposition just to talking about Varna and Ashram. But it is much more than that. And we have to respect our natural disposition. We have to respect what we are in. It's important that we follow the rules of the Ashram. That means the Grihastha have to be responsible. Not to say the Brahmacharis don't have to be responsible. But Grihasthas have to be responsible and to their jobs, to their families, to the society, to their country, whatever is required. It's required. You cannot act against your situation.
And to the same extent, the brahmacharis have to be strict in their sadhana, be very restrained in their association with the opposite sex. That's what brahmachari life is all about. If you're trying to transgress that, you are exposing yourself to a difficult snare of maya. You'll be knocked out at any moment unexpectedly. If you try to do something which is not in your natural frame of work, you're exposing yourself. Please understand. Be sure. If grihasthas try to be detached and try to do things in a way, in a frugal living, finished. They're going to be miserable devotees. And if brahmacharis try to live like grihasthas, I don't want to really mention, but you all know what I mean. You are directly, exposing yourself. It's like, your chest is there, you have no armor, and maya is there. Here, shoot me, and boom, you get shot and you are finished. So please understand, when Prabhupada says this, we are talking the example of the crocodile and the Gajendra fighting. We have to understand it completely, and this is exactly what Prabhupada is trying to teach. What do we learn from the fight of the crocodile and Gajendra? That we have to be in a natural disposition, comfortable to fight this relentless war against maya. Relentless war. And for fighting the relentless war, we have to be relentlessly aware. Even in a minute of being unaware, it could be the cause of your death. Right? In war, what happens? Even 1 minute you are off guard, boom. Finished. So you have to be conscious. So please, Krishna consciousness, why we all came to Krishna consciousness. None of us ever came here for position or prestige or puja, lab or pratishtha. Originally, when we all came, we wanted to be devotees. I mean, we wanted to be just or simple devotees of the Lord, love Krishna, love our spiritual master and execute Krishna consciousness. But what happened in the way? Something goes wrong. We get diverted because maya is relentless. She is going to pose you various challenges, my dear friends. Not just you, all of us. She's going to pose various challenges. And we have to be constantly aware, relentlessly aware about the snares of maya. And that's why if we operate in our framework that we have decided to be in, if moment you cross the Lakshman Rekha, you know what happens. Ravan will capture you. So we all have our Lakshman Rekhas. We should draw it. And if we don't know it, you should ask somebody, what is my Lakshman Rekha? What is it that I am supposed to do with this particular scenario that I am in right now? And we have to clearly define our areas of operation, and we should not go beyond that. If you are serious in Krishna consciousness, if you are not, do anything you want, because then why are you here? Why should we attend Bhagavatam class? But the fact is, we take it as a understandable fact that we are all here to make Krishna consciousness a priority and purify ourselves and become lovers of God, right? And the only way we can do that, my dear friends, is to really be relentless in our understanding of our framework that we need to operate in. And we need to help each other. The moment you find somebody stepping out of the dekha, my dear friend, please do something about it. And we should be keeping ourselves so easily available for corrections. The saddest part, my dear friend, is that we create a aura or a scenario around us where nobody can correct us. I tell you, it is the saddest thing. Only God can bless you. That's a sad thing. If nobody can really come and correct you, you created a sort of a invisible wall. Don't tell me anything. But the satam prasanga, mama virya samhita, what does it mean to associate with devotees? Is not just your bhagatam, is but machita madhagata prana bodhyantasya parasparam katyastam manityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha machita madhagata prana. Is that what Krishna says? That my devotees, when they come together, they discuss about me. When they talk about me, it's not only Krishna katha, but they discuss how to help each other in executing your fight against maya. When two soldiers meet, what do? They discuss about strategies. And we are all soldiers, right? At least we are aware that we are soldiers. Others, they don't even know they're fighting, but they already given up. But we are soldiers. We are fighting this war. And when we come together, we make strategies, what helps and what doesn't help. What is strategy? Strategy means two things. What helps fight, win the war, and what is against. What is the downside of how I may not be able to win the war, I might lose the war. Both things are important. So my dear friends, please, you know, we were talking about these beautiful principles of Pandava's attachment to Krishna. And we are so fortunate that we have understanding of such great personalities like the Pandavas. How attached they were and what they must be experiencing when Krishna was leaving. But how does that really matter to us? What does this verse mean to me today, 23rd of April, 2022? How does it apply to me in my life right now? The way it applies is that I need to understand, I need to be similarly trying to love Krishna. But that will not happen, as Prabhupada says very clearly, unless and until you give up the snare of Maya. You give it up. And you become attached to Krishna. And how to become attached to Krishna? By associating with the devotees. Because what is so special about the association of devotees? But it is in the association of devotees that we can hear Krishna Katha. And in that association, when we hear Krishna Katha, that is the most powerful, or rather the only way, and we can give up this snare of Maya and become attached to Krishna. Today is, of course, for a minute we'll mention, today was the Disciplines Day of Abhiram Gopal Thakur, a very, very special personality. Shidama from Krishna Leela. Nothing to do with me, but very special personality. I mean, I hope he was around, because he had that Jai Mangal whip. He was it is explained, very sweet pastime, the Krishna and Balram and the coward boys. Give me 2 minutes more, Rasikachar Prabhu. Krishna and Balram and others were playing in the forest of Vrindavan. They were playing hide and seek. And Sridhama was hiding and Krishna ran away. And suddenly Krishna, it is explained by our acharyas, that Krishna got a desire to go to Nadia, to go to Navdvip and do his pastimes there. And he took took Balram and everybody there. And as he was in Navdvip, he was thinking, where is Sridhama? Sridhama was still hiding in the shrubs. He was waiting for somebody to catch him. And he was missing. And then he sent, Balram, who was Nityanand, of course, he went and he said, hey, Sridhama, Krishna is calling you now. He has gone to Nadia. He is no more here. He has gone to Nadia. I said, what? I don't believe. Who are you? Because Balram had become very short. I said, Balram is huge personality because the yuga had changed. And Balramji was looking. I said, "How? I don't think you are Balram." This is Sridhama saying. I said, I can only trust that you are Balram if you can do parikrama of Govardhan with me. And if you can catch me. Because we used to do that. So Sridhama did 4 parikramas of Govardhan. And before Sridhama finished, Balramji already finished. He said, now you are definitely Nityanand Balram. Because, you know, this is a proof. And then, of course, so what I'm trying to say is, he said that I don't want to come part of your Leela and take birth in some mother's womb, and I don't want to go that. So Abhiram Gopal was directly, as it is, copy-paste, boom. Copy and paste. Or maybe cut paste. Oh no, copy paste. You cannot be cut paste. So copy and paste. So he just came as it is in the Leela of Chaitanya. So there is no mother and father of. If you ask, you know, every time we talk about Acharya, this was his mother, this was his father. For Abhiram Thakur, there is no mother, father. He was just directly from Krishna Leela. He came to Gaur Leela. Interesting, isn't it? And he was associated with Lord Nityananda. And he had 2 special things. He had this Jai Mangal whip, where he would just beat somebody with Jai Mangal, he would just be filled with love of God. Another thing is, he would offer obeisances to somebody and that person was not a pure devotee of the Lord, boom, his head would crack into multiple pieces. And he would offer obeisances and if that particular deity was not Shaligram, the deity would crack into multiple pieces. So nobody would want to be near Abhiram Thakur, because if you offer obeisances and if you had some problems. So anyway, Abhiram Thakur came, he wanted to offer obeisance to Raghunandan. He heard the glories of Raghunandan. He came to Shrikhanda. Beautiful story. You can do homework, read it in a detailed way, respective homes. He came to Shrikhanda and Mukunda, who was a doctor father, he was a doctor by profession. He said, oh, my son is a young person. If he has some desires, we don't know. And if he offered obeisances. So he was hiding Raghunandan in the house. And Abhiram Thakur was wanting. He said, I've heard the glories of Raghunandan. He's a great devotee of the Lord. And Gopinath ate from his hands personally. So I want to offer obeisances. And then as he was hiding, Raghunandan came running out of the house. And they say, oh my God, what will happen? And then when our Abhiram Thakur came there, this is Raghunandan. I said, I want to offer obeisances. And he offered obeisances and nothing happened. So this was a litmus test, or what we call it, the Abhiram test, to know whether you are a pure devotee of the Lord. And Raghunandan was a wonderful. So this beautiful pastimes of the Lord like that. He was staying in a place called Kalakula Krishnanagar. And he would worship his beautiful deities of Gopinathji. It's still there. If you visit this beautiful place, we have been on a yatra, Kanakula Krishnanagar, and the deities of Abhiram Thakur are still there. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Hare Krishna.